Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. Tons of great writers and podcasts up on AmericaOutLoud.com that will keep you busy for hours. We're excited everyone can join us tonight because we have a lot to talk about. The first thing I want to discuss, because it is so important, is the continued invasion on our southern border. This latest caravan with thousands of illegals is on the way, and Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton says that it would be impossible to keep track of all these people. They're coming in through portions of the Texas where the border wall is not finished, yet we have hundreds of miles of border wall sitting around doing nothing. These illegals would be on buses, flights, and be moved all over the country in no time. The open border policy from Joe Biden will fundamentally change America if this keeps up. The consequences of President Trump losing the election have been catastrophic. Of course, the borders are Kamala Harris is busy in France and continues to ignore the problem. Makes me wonder if the problems with the Harris and Biden administration are from when Biden threw Harris under the bus and put her in charge of his disastrous border. Perhaps they think that is why she is only polling at 28%. We need to finish the wall now before it is too late. Rob, what are your thoughts on Kamala Harris's handling of the border and the continued border crisis?
Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We know that we're during the holiday season, and I'm sure that everyone is getting ready to sit down with their family and give thanks to God for all the blessings that have been bestowed upon them this year, despite the fact that President Biden is trying to destroy the country. We can be thankful that he has not succeeded thus far. So I'm thankful for that, thankful for the show, and I'm thankful for our listeners being here. So from now until Thanksgiving, we will be giving thanks. Not that we don't always give thanks. But back to your question, Andrew, on the border and my thoughts on Vice President Kamala Harris. She was given this task earlier on to deal with the border crisis that Biden had created. Now, they're saying that they were handed a border that was in horrific condition. That's a complete lie. When President Trump left office, we didn't have all these caravans flocking to the border. Now, initially, they were, but he reached out to the president of Mexico and said, get this under control or there will be a price to pay. I don't care how you do it, but you need to take care of this. You need to take care of your people. All of the deals that you're getting from us will cease to exist. And he did just that. Now, of course, there was some posturing, and the president at the time and the incoming president of Mexico, they tried to, you know, flex their muscles, but they saw that it wasn't going to work with President Trump because he was a man of his word. And all the pictures that we saw of sponsored individuals invading our country, compliments of George Soros and other big wig Democrats, it ceased. It started slowing down. Now, you can't tell me that these people are coming here for a better way of life when we see them at the border with designer jeans, designer sneakers, bottled water, cell phones, looking clean, and rest stations that look better than hotels in some cases. They had food to eat. They weren't malnourished. What gives? Who was funding this? It was all planned. It was planned by the likes of folks like George Soros. We can't pretend as if though we don't see this. We can't pretend as if though this just happened spontaneously. because it didn't. This was by design. It was by design. And if you look back, Andrew, and this is what I always tell people, look back a couple of years, 5 years maybe, and you had then Senator Barack Obama saying that we need to protect our borders, Chuck Schumer saying we need to protect our borders, Nancy Pelosi saying that we need to protect our borders. Even when Hillary Clinton was running for president, she said that we need to protect our borders and that we need to build a wall. But they were calling it a fence at the time. Fast forward, when Obama became president, he was saying the exact same thing. We need to build a fence. Do not send your children here. Don't come here. It will not end well. What changed? Well, I'll tell you what changed. People started getting woke. And for the better part of a decade or so, our children were in school being ingrained that it's okay for people to breach our borders and come here, bringing with them crime, diseases. So that was fast forward, going backwards rather, but fast forward now, those children are now adults and they're in key positions, policymaking positions, unfortunately. And they're pushing this nonsense. Some of them were kids, they went to law school and they're now attorneys. They're looking at making big money out of this, representing the illegals that are coming here. Why is it that every country can have border control except for the United States? You look at Europe. Look at what happened to Germany. Look at what happened to the Swiss. Look at what happened to the French. Look at what's happening to the UK. They started allowing individuals to come in from Africa, poor regions of Africa, a lot of the Muslim countries. And most of the folks that were coming to Germany and the UK and France were poor Muslims. They created ghettos. And then they started to wreak havoc on the citizens because they could not assimilate. Now, some people say, well, why would they assimilate? Let them keep their own culture. They couldn't even do that. When they saw what the Western culture was like, they were culture shocked. And some of the men started to brutalize the women. Don't take my word for it. Look it up for yourselves. Go to DuckDuckGo. Don't go to Google because Google will suppress the information. Do you see people running to India? No. Why not? What's wrong with India? There is a middle class and a rich high class in India. But for the most part, the country is destitute. The country is, unfortunately, and I hate to say it, but it's a shithole, as well as some of the other countries, third world countries. We are not talking about them in a derogatory fashion. We're just speaking truth to power. We have to accept this. Parts of Mexico are the same way. But at the same time, there are parts of Mexico, like Cancun, vacation spots that people will go to. Americans will go to, Europeans will go to. But there are other places in Mexico that aren't like that. And there are other South American countries that are poor, Ecuador. Now, there are rich people that are there, but the government has mismanaged the monies that other countries are giving to them. One of the biggest givers, unfortunately, the United States. Now, just imagine if we were to stop giving to these countries, kept the money at home to end our poverty. But instead, Andrew, what Joe Biden wants to do, President Biden, is that he wants them to come here. And when they come, there is talk about giving them $450,000, especially the ones that have already been here and are alleging, you took my children. Well, by law, according to our law, that you already broke when you came here illegally, if we can't establish a connection between you and the child, we have to take the child for the safety of the child. So it was never your child. But Americans don't see this. We have been hoodwinked by the media that are pushing another fake narratives. You have got to go and do your own research. You have got to look at this for what it's worth and realize that the media has been lying and will consistently lie. Well, what do I do? You turn them off. You have to stop watching them. Over the past decade or two, the mainstream media has become so opinionated and have moved away from just giving us the facts. Now, on a couple of shows ago, I broke this down as to how CNN, forget about it. There's nothing newsworthy to watch there. I know you see it streaming in airports, and you're thinking, oh, this is a God honest truth. You can walk around to different corporations, different companies, and you'll see it streaming there, as well as CNBC, MSNBC. But it's not real news. It's opinionated news, including Fox. A lot of conservatives like to watch Fox. And right now, Fox is beating all the other news stations in the ratings. But they, too, are opinionated to a degree. If you're watching them at night from 7 p.m. Eastern time up until 11, it's all opinions. Don't get it confused. During the day, the same thing. Now, I think during their morning shows at 9 p.m. Eastern time, they try to do hardcore news. They will have commentators to come in. But on the other stations, it's strictly opinions all day long, all night long. Do not get it twisted. Don't get it confused. Unfortunately, though, the younger generation that is coming up watching this, they know nothing else. So they go to this, they gravitate to this, thinking that it's real news when they see Anderson Cooper, Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski. They're thinking that this is real news, and it's by design, because these kids have grown up on this, Andrew. So that's all they hear. That's all they know. So when they come out and they say this stuff, they're thinking it's real news. So when they hear there's no crisis at the border, they're thinking there is no crisis at the border. These people should be allowed to come in. No, they should not. We have laws. Try going to Mexico, to their border without a passport and saying, I'm just going to camp out there. Go there and lose your passport and think you could stay there. They will fine you and kick you out. But only in America, we're saying it's okay. You can do it. But you're taxing our economy. Well, let the government take care of it. How can the government take care of it when the government can't take care of its own? We have people in poverty right now. We have homeless people. Why can't the government take care of them? It's a systemic problem that the government can't do everything. Yes, we have billionaires here, but what are they doing? I heard the other day that Jeff Bezos is going to donate $100 million to some cause. You would think that that $100 million would uplift a lot of people out of poverty, but it won't. Why won't it? Because of the Democrat parties. Look at their big infrastructure bill that they're trying to push, designed to keep us dependent upon the government as opposed to creating jobs. Look around you. During the 70s and the 80s, we had all these factories. People were working. We had a strong middle class. Those jobs have now fled the country and gone to Bangladesh, India, China. What are our people supposed to do? How are they supposed to work? Oh, big tech. Everyone isn't designed to be into big tech and computers or engineering. And they shouldn't be. Why should they? We have the greatest country. Why not bring those jobs here? Well, if they were to bring them here, you have these unions, oh, we want more money. We should pay them $90 an hour. $90 an hour for what? Train them, give them the jobs so that they can work and keep our economy strong. So while we're trying to decimate the middle class, and then bring in illegal aliens from the border and then give them $450 a piece, give them food stamps and all this other stuff. It's like, come on. No, I'm not saying that we can't help people, but we've got to put the brakes on this. We don't need every Dick and Tom coming here living off of our government. So that was what Kamala Harris was supposed to be looking at. That is what Kamala Harris, who's supposed to be the border czar, supposed to be working on. But yet and still you have the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, I'm probably mispronouncing his name, but he gets it, who has been lying to us saying that there is no crisis at the border. But clearly there's a crisis. Earlier during the fall, you had the Haitians coming to the border. And Andrew, I got to say, if you're going to wag a carrot worth $450,000, wouldn't you come to the border also illegally? It's like, folks, we're incentivizing these people to come to the border. And Kamala, who has been in office almost a year, is yet to go to the border. As Andrew said, she's gone to France. She's flown all over. But as far as the border, oh, I don't have time for that. No wonder her poll numbers are falling down. They're falling down and they can't get up. And then you had her communications director to step down. And then the White House communications director has stepped down.
Yeah, and you know what I noticed about this, Rob, is that instead of just firing these people that stepped down, Biden just transfers them to a different government agency so they can continue to cash in and make money off the American taxpayer. At least President Trump would fire someone when they were leaving or not doing their job. The Joe Biden administration, it just seems like there's a spot for everyone to have a job.
Well, it's called failing up, Andrew. They fail up. Look at Beto O'Rourke, who failed up miserably. He tried to run for the Senate. He couldn't make it. He tried to run for the presidency. And oh my God, the media was so in love with this guy. He was like the next coming. And we talked about this on two shows ago. He was like JFK and he had the looks and he was this and he was that. Like, seriously? Oh, and Barack Obama loves him. And he was on Vanity Magazine, Vanity Fair magazine, and all these other magazines looking all rustic. And he's a man's man. He's no man's man. He's an alpha man.
He's going to take all the guns.
Wait. I said he's an alpha man. He's a beta man. Not exactly. An alpha. I want to get that confused. Right. He's going to take everyone's guns. And he didn't stumble when he said it. He's like, yeah, we're going to take your guns. So now he wants to run for the governor of Texas. I'm going to turn this state blue. And while he's doing it, who does he criticize? President Biden. Quiet as is kept. The media isn't saying anything. I guess they didn't get the memo, or they're working on a memo to him to say, shut up. Or better yet, Andrew, this might be by design. They probably know, hey, if he's going to get Texas, if he's going to try to be the governor, he has to lightly punch at Biden. And we can take that. It's okay. Because in the end, we know that he's still on our team. This is how these guys play this. Because remember, my favorite topic, but I hate what happened. The fall of Afghanistan. Horrible withdrawal. 13 soldiers lost their lives. And when it happened, Tony Blinken, Marco Milley, Lloyd Austin, and all these other knuckleheads were looking like, oh, we don't know what happened. Oh, we told this, we said that, and we told him this, we told Joe that, but Joe wanted to do it his way. So what does the media do? They come out and they kick him just a little bit and they hit him just a little bit to make us think that they were attacking him because he failed. But as you and I always said, Andrew, go back and check the records. Go back through the archives of After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, and you will see that we called it. We said, well, they're going to talk about him for a while. But when it's all said and done, they're going to say, forget about it. Nothing to see here. And sure enough, people have forgotten about it. And if you were to ask them about it, they'll say, wait, didn't that happen under President Trump? No, it was President Biden. He failed miserably and getting our soldiers out. And there are still people behind enemy lines. And we've forgotten all about it. We have moved on. We're looking at other things, which is what the media wants. So with Beto O'Rourke attacking President Biden because of the crisis at the border? Oh, it's only temporarily. They just want him to get it out because he's planning on running for the governor of Texas. So they will permit it just a little bit, as long as he doesn't hit too hard. It's like a necessary evil to get him in so that people will say, oh, Beto, there he is, a man's man. But he's actually a Beto boy, a soy boy.
You know it's bad for the Democrats when they're thinking that their only hope of winning now is that they have to bash the Biden administration to get votes in their own states or districts because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are so unpopular. His approval ratings started off at like 50% somehow, the media says. Now they claim they're down to like 34%, which is probably more like 28%, because I'm sure they're still cutting this guy a break. But Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are so unpopular that, yeah, I think come midterms next year, you're going to have Democrat candidates all over bashing Biden and Harris because they know that plays well in their district, because America is so unhappy with this inflation, the gas prices, illegal immigration, so many things, the Afghanistan disaster. I mean, you just name it, and the Biden administration has been inept, and it's been bad since the start.
So it begs the question, why is it that people think that he's doing such a great job? Well, again, you have the media. And they're telling us that inflation, at least Stephanie Ruhle, is not a bad thing. I have never, ever heard such lies. Inflation is a good thing. That's what they're saying. Inflation is a good thing. And that we've had all this money that we've saved up, so it's okay to go out and buy things. And according to the numbers that they're reporting, Andrew, people are buying. Although it's expensive, they're looking at, well, I better get it now. Because if I don't get it now, I won't be able to get it later because of the crises with shipping, the cargo crises. So let's just go ahead and get it now. Yeah, this is what they're spending.
You have to wonder if that's in the Communist Manifesto, that inflation is a good thing. As you said, I've never heard that one before.
Never heard it. Our supply chain is completely broken. We still have cargoes that are sitting in the ocean. No one knows how to do it. Pete Buttigieg is not going to do it. I mean, he's now looking at them dumping Kamala and putting him on the ticket. Now, never mind the fact that he was a failed governor of South Bend, Indiana. Never mind the fact that he had issues with Black and brown people. Never mind any of that. But just look at the fact that he's gay. He's out there. He and his buddy, and they've adopted a little baby. That's all you need to focus on. He has done nothing successful in the position that he's in as a cabinet member. And now they're putting his name out there. Oh, maybe Biden is going to pick him to be the VP and dump Kamala. Meanwhile, inflation is all up in the air and we're still buying. And when I hear the numbers that people don't seem to be bothered by it, the consumer confidence is at a robust, and they're buying and they're doing this and they're doing that. I don't believe it. Andrew, it has gotten to the point. I was speaking with an associate and I said, I don't believe any of the numbers that are coming out of this White House. I don't believe the CDC. I don't believe anything that they're saying. I don't believe the FBI, because they are all prone to lie to protect resident Biden. How in the heck you're going to tell me that this guy is going to go in for a, what was it? To have his butt poked to see if he had cancer. And then, oh, he's in top shape condition. He's ready to, you know, be over the country, to preside over the country, to fulfill his constitutional duties. Oh, really? Did he get a cognitive test? I want to know what his blood pressure is like. The man just turned 79. The oldest president to be in office to turn that age. I want to know it all. But they're telling us, oh, he's in good condition. He can fulfill his constitutional duties. I don't believe any of that, because we can see with our very own eyes that he's struggling, that he's challenged. You want me not to see that? When he gets out, he gets up and speaks, he's lost, he's confused, he's dazed. He don't know if he's going or coming. And you're telling me that this guy is fit to fulfill his constitutional duties? And as I said on a couple of shows before, a person at that age, when they put them under anesthesia and they come back, there's something that doesn't go right. And it takes some time to regroup. And just look at this man. He's not in tip-top shape condition. And then he meets with the president, President Xi of China, and he says nothing about COVID-19, the China virus. He's there smiling. He probably didn't even know who he was looking at. And then I'm hearing, Andrew, that there was a deal in the background for them to release an Olympic tennis player from China who had accused one of their officials in China of sexually molesting her when she came out and she said it, she disappeared. And just like the propaganda machine that they are, China puts out these videos of her eating with friends and at a game, and it's probably dated, it's probably old, and it might be a lookalike. But we're supposed to believe all this is okay. So why did Biden do this? Why was there a behind the scene negotiations taking place that apparently didn't go anywhere? It failed. But we're supposed to believe that the man who created a disaster at the border, a man who withdrew from Afghanistan, was a failure with 13 soldiers losing their lives, a man who has given us high inflation, who shut down our oil pipeline, only to be begging for OPEC to produce more oil, and OPEC is saying, screw you, a man who is allowing Russia to create their own pipeline and sell oil to Germany. This is the man who's capable of running our country? Really? I mean, let's just think about this, guys. Look at the disaster he has created. We look weak before our very own enemies, China and Russia. We look weak. They're playing us like a $2 prostitute. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it really is. You know, guys, we're coming up on the Christmas holiday. And if you're looking for a great stocking stuffer, a great place to head on over is to HealthyCell.com. Try REM sleep. Are you tired of being tired? Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with HealthyCell's REM sleep supplement. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with HealthyCell's pill-free vitamins. So if you don't like swallowing vitamins, HealthyCell is perfect for you. You can head on over to HealthyCell.com and save 20% off with the code OUTLOUD. You're tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andy.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. If you go to HealthyCell.com, you can check out the technology, the products of HealthyCell. These are very innovative products. They are a form of bio-nutraceuticals that are bioactive, and they come in a variety of categories. One is daily essentials, which are the bioactive multi and the vegan essentials. And then the next category is performance. And this is the REM sleep supplement. I've talked about it a lot. I think it's very effective, and I recommend it for myself and for my family, but as well as my patients. I'm having great luck with this because it is such a terrific product with a blend of, I think, is what's needed for not only promoting sleep, but also getting quality sleep. And when gets quality sleep, then there's restfulness, and the next day is better, and then the next night is better, and it becomes a progressively positive cycle for the human body. And the next product in the performance category is Focus and Recall. Focus and Recall. And I think that is the featured product that is coming into play for those with long COVID and brain fog that develops after COVID-19, the respiratory infection, but also after COVID-19 vaccination. And then finally, the main horse in HealthyCell is the targeted support of immune super boost. And what we have here is a series of products that really can toe the line for patients who are working their way through the COVID-19 pandemic, either at risk for COVID-19, have had COVID-19 and recovered are in the post-COVID syndrome, which is now a diagnosis we put in the electronic medical record, and are suffering through a variety of manifestations of post-COVID syndrome. And then lastly, those who are in the throes of vaccine reactions of some sort, whether they be acute serious vaccine reactions or the more common mild prolonged vaccine reactions. We now know the spike protein lasts in the human body after the respiratory infection or after vaccination for up to 15 months. We had this breaking development brought to you on America Out Loud Talk Radio with Dr. Bruce Patterson on a recent episode. So we know this is the case. And so we know if the Wuhan spike protein is in the human body for up to 15 months, it's going to cause damage. It's going to cause inflammation. It's going to set a whole variety of immune responses up, working against our body and potentially damaging cells, tissues, intercellular communication systems, and very importantly, influencing organ function. And here is where we need the maximum defense for the body, the maximum and the most appropriate blend of micronutrients, minerals, as well as vitamins to help the body get through this difficult time. So go to healthycell.com and check out the products, and in the promotional code, use the term out loud for 20% off your first purchase. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back after dark with Robin Andrew. And at the top of the hour, we were talking about the crisis at the border and how the media wants us to think that there isn't a crisis at the border, when we can see with our very own eyes that there is a crisis at the border. The media also would like us to believe that President Biden is in tip-top shape condition to fulfill his constitutional duties, when we, looking at it with our very own eyes, see that that's not the case. If you're living under a rock, I would admonish you to come from under the rock, because we're not where we should be as a country. That being said, I still give thanks for having been born in the greatest country in the world, bar none. You have people all over trying to get here. That is the reason why the illegals are coming here illegally, because they want a part of America. They too know that it is the greatest country anywhere. Why wouldn't they want to come? Despite all the lies from the left that it's racist, it's systemic racist, and it's embedded in everything that we do, it's all a lie. Because when you look around you and you see people that are trying to come here, do you think they want to come here for the racism? Because if they come, they're going to be stopped and they won't get a chance to fulfill or be a part of the American dream. Just think about it. The American dream is what so many people are after. That if you come here, you have all these opportunities. It's not going to be easy. But if you're committed and you know what you want, you can achieve it. And so many people have done just that, Andrew, both black and white. I've told the story of an African from Singhalese coming here, speaking no English. He wanted me to teach him. He heard me talk. I taught him English. The next thing I knew, the guy had like a chain of stores. This was an African. So if he can do it, why can't other people do it? Why can't black people do it that were born here? Well, they can't do it because they've bought into the narrative by the left that you're less of a person because of your color. that you're going to have all these obstacles that are going to come against you, that white people aren't going to want you to make it. You know what? I agree with them. They're going to have obstacles. We all have obstacles. We all have challenges. There will be roadblocks. And perhaps there will be, I won't say perhaps, but there will be people that don't like you because of your skin color. But they don't make up the entire America, the entire United States. If you hit one roadblock, you pivot and you go to another. You don't let one person stop you or a group of people stop you. But what's happening now is that the left, on their bully pulpit with their bullhorn, is telling black people, you can't make it. They're not going to let you make it. So you've got to vote for the Democrats. Meanwhile, illegal aliens are coming across the border. Their skin tone is the same color as black people or even darker, but they're making it. Illegally, if I may add, they're doing it. So why can't blacks do the same thing? You have got to turn off the liberal media, stop listening to them, stop listening to them talk about racism, because they know if they wag that dog tail, the black people will stop and start shaking their head. It's racism. I can't get the job because of racism. No, you can't get the job because you didn't present yourself accordingly. You can't get the job because you feel that you should be the manager. You can't get the job because when you got there, you felt that everyone was going to be your friend. And if they weren't your friend, you're like, oh, they don't like me because I'm black. You can't get the job because maybe there was someone on the job that didn't like you. And you wanted to say it's racism. And they probably just didn't like you because they didn't like you. But when you allow people to set your agenda and to tell you that you can't do it because of your skin color or because of your gender, you will begin to internalize that. And you will start to think that. And then you can't do it. Let's not get it twisted. Earlier on in the history of our country, during the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s, it was difficult for black people. It was difficult. Let's just admit it. But how could it be that some of them succeeded? Because they were focused. And they said, I am not going to let this stop me. And they did it, and they succeeded. Fast forward, 2021, a whole lot better than the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, Andrew. Much more opportunities are available. Much more opportunities. All you have to do is apply yourself. But you got to stop letting people from the left tell you that you can't do it because of your skin tone. You can't do it because of your gender. You can't do it because, heck, they don't like you, so you got to listen to the Democrats. You got to let us take care of you. Meanwhile, other people are coming, taking your place at the dinner table and succeeding, being successful. We can't allow this. We got to stop it. We got to stop supporting the individuals like President Biden and his team of lunatics that want us to keep depending on them, to keep suppressing us. They are the oppressors. Wake up, America. Wake up and be thankful.
Yeah, well said, Rob. And something else we need to stop is I just recently read about Walgreens, several of them closing up in the Bay Area because of the theft. I know New York City has had a lot of problems with a lot of these places like CVS and Walgreens getting robbed constantly. California Nordstrom was ransacked by 80 looters in ski masks with crowbars and weapons. I'm not even sure how this happens. How do 80 criminals get together and decide that they're going to go and rob Nordstrom one night? Apparently, they blocked off the highway so cops could not get there. What are your thoughts on this mass looting incident that was from Nordstrom? Apparently, Kenosha, Wisconsin avoided the rioting, but for some reason in the Bay Area, they just had this mass theft event. What were your thoughts on that, Rob?
Well, you asked the question, how were they able to do it? I'll tell you how. They did it through social media. Social media will not talk about that. They won't talk about how they planned, they got together and planned on doing this, probably through Facebook, TikTok, and even Twitter. But they won't talk about that. they only want to talk about, oh, the writers of Jan 6, they got together on social media and they planned this. When we all know that during the spring and summer of 2020, a lot of these riots that popped up was organized through social media. So when you look at something that happened in San Francisco, the Bay Area, the Nordstrom's, 80 people blocking the street so that the police can't get there. Now, what do you bet that some of them, not all of them, were Black? And I'm sure that there were some whites and Hispanics, but I looked at the pictures. I looked at, they had their faces covered, but their arms and other body parts were hanging out. Indisputable, let's just be honest, okay? As one of my great aunts used to say, tell the truth and shame the devil. Let's just be honest as to what happened here. We can't turn our backs on the truth. You have people that are plotting this, scheming and scamming this stuff. Now, you might hide your face. You've taken off the white sheet and put on the black sheet. But we see your arms. We see your legs. We know who you are. Come on. And then to go in and ransack the store, what do you need this stuff for? Better yet, why are you stealing, knowing that the government is going to give you free money anyway? And when these stores shut down and say, no more, we don't want to do business, and then they go somewhere else and do business, what would the left say? They don't want to live around Black people. They think they're better than us. They don't want, they think that there's something wrong with us. Well, absolutely. Why would you want to live in an area that you're going to burn down and you're going to riot and loot? New York City, the same thing. This past weekend, you had people shutting down the Brooklyn Bridge. Why? Well, we're protesting over Kyle Rittenhouse, the guy who was acquitted recently of killing two derelicts of society, a child molester, and then a family beater. Not saying that they should have lost their lives, but they, in my opinion, they were just taking up important airspace, breathing space. So they met with their fate. God rest their soul. When they wake up, they'll probably see the devil on the other side. But I'm not one to judge. But just getting back to my story. Why are people doing this? Because they've been told by the media that it's okay. And then when you have district attorneys, attorney generals that are in office, refusing to prosecute these cases, as was the case during the spring of summer of 2020, refusing to prosecute, looking the other way, doing a wink, wink, and then trying to justify it, Andrew, and say, well, you know, they're doing this out of frustration and anger and out of necessity. Okay, what were they frustrated by? By what? Kyle Rittenhouse, he killed two white men, not a black man. Again, let me say this. A 17-year-old boy during the summer of 2020, defending himself, shot and killed two white thugs, a child molester and a guy who had spent time in prison, a child molester who had just been released from a hospital in Wisconsin after trying to commit suicide. It's unfortunate that he wasn't successful. So he leaves the hospital and decides, oh, wow, we got chaos. Let me join the chaos party. How was he able to go out and get a weapon to chase down this 17-year-old kid? Maybe he was going to molest the kid. I don't know, as I said in one of our other shows. So why are Black people up in arms over this? Oh, well, it shows you that when a white person tries to protect a Black person, they're going to kill them. He wasn't trying to protect any Black people. Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber. Like, really? They were trying to protect Black people when they're tearing down their neighborhoods? This is what I'm talking about. Now, had they been successful in killing this poor kid, no one would have filed any charges against them. They would have just went along their merry little way, continuing to molest kids, continuing to beat up members of their family. We got to wake up. So the 80 people in San Francisco, the FBI should be out trying to figure out who they were. We want to bring them to justice. The same way that they wanted to bring the folks to justice on Jan 6, moving mountains, doing everything possible. We want to find them all and we're going to bring them to justice. For what? A college boy prank? Now, again, it shouldn't have happened. No one was killed from that incident. Now, the media will tell you, oh, people died. No, they did not. Okay, they did not. That is a lie. You can even look at the FBI. In that instance, the FBI spoke the truth. No one died on Jan 6, resulting from what happened. That is a bold-faced lie. I will say it again. No one died. Go to DuckDuckGo. Well, there was a police officer. He was hit in the head. No, he did not die from that. He was already sick. He had a heart attack. They took him to the hospital, and then he died later on. They had even said that a woman was trampled. That didn't happen. That was a lie. Now, what did happen is that Ashley Babbitt was shot dead in cold blood by a black man, claiming to be a Capitol Police, a black man who had once before left his weapon in the men's bathroom, a black man who is now on GoFundMe looking for us to give him money. For what? I don't know. Maybe they didn't. His book deal didn't go through. They looked at his story and said, there's nothing here to tell. So he decided, let me go to GoFundMe. People will remember me. Maybe they'll feel bad for me. And I can tell them, oh, they're after my family. They're calling, they're threatening me. Who's doing it? BLM? Antifa? Because conservatives don't do that. We have jobs. We don't have time to do it. Did you hear this? Conservatives were going to riot if Kyle Rittenhouse had been found guilty? No. Did you hear that we were going to riot if the election was stolen from President Trump? No. But what we did hear is that if the left wasn't successful in stealing the election, that people were going to riot. So what did businesses do? They boarded up their stores. They boarded up their businesses. What did we hear? Well, if Kyle Rittenhouse isn't found guilty, we're going to burn this place down. And what happened? Businesses, once again, had to border up their businesses, border up their storefronts out of fear. So when you hear that there's going to be a riot, it's not the folks on the right, it's the folks on the left. And Chris Cuomo, protesting is supposed to be peaceful. You're not supposed to go in and tear up someone's community and then wonder who's going to build it back. So now we're wondering, how is Nordstrom going to be made whole? Well, one BLM member said once, when they were referring to Chicago, when they were looting there, oh, it's just stuff. It's just a building. You can easily build that back. You can easily replace stuff. They have insurance. They have insurance, but not insurance for something like that. But you just to go in willy-nilly and steal because you don't want to pay for it. And again, Andrew, these people got government money to stay at home. Why don't they use that money to buy their goods? And if you're all upset, why do you need a huge flat screen TV? Why do you need designer clothes? Is that going to make you feel better? And then you want to sell some of the stuff on eBay, your hot looted items. Again, I ask, why isn't the FBI, the Department of Justice, saying we're going to find all of these 80 people who block traffic? It's very easy to get their license plates, and we're going to arrest them. We're going to hold them accountable. Why aren't we doing that? Well, we're not doing it because we think it's okay. But in actuality, what we are sending out is a message that some people can commit a crime and it's okay. Other people can't do it. Not that other people would want to do it. As I've said before here on this show, black people can obey the law just like white people. White people can obey the law just like black people and brown people. We can all obey the law. No one, Andrew, is above the law. So what happened in San Francisco, laws were broken and people should be held accountable. If we're going to hold people accountable for everything else, they should be held accountable for that. There is no in between. And then we also found out, Andrew, from a New York Times reporter, that during this entire Kenosha fiasco during the summer of 2020, that she wrote a report saying, a story saying, that those communities were being devastated by the rioters and that people were being harmed. But you know what? The New York Times decided, we're not going to run it. We're going to wait until after the election. Because you need to go back and get some more sources. You need to tighten the story up a little bit. It doesn't look good. In other words, we don't want to damage the Democrats. We don't want people to know the truth. So you have people that are running out there thinking, oh, it's okay. What they were doing was okay. It's never okay to break the law. It's never okay to burn down your community. Communities that will not be rebuilt. Communities that won't come back. Communities that years from now will be hemorrhaging and suffering and creating poverty. We've got to do better, and we've got to start telling the truth and making people aware of it, Andrew.
Yeah, I could not agree with you anymore. What we've seen in this country the last couple of years with these Black Lives Matter Antifa rioters, it will not go away. You remember a couple of weeks ago, we had Colonel Julie Hall on talking about how they were just having a peaceful event. All of a sudden, Antifa showed up. And it just went to chaos. But Rob, a story I noticed this past week that I do not think got enough attention, because the left-wing media, after Kyle Rittenhouse got off innocent on all charges, of course, they went with the tired old narrative that this is white privilege. The only reason Kyle Rittenhouse got away with self-defense is because he is white and his white privilege. Well, there was a Black man named Andrew Coffey who was also innocent on all charges in a murder case the same exact day as Kyle Rittenhouse. Of course, the media did not talk about that case whatsoever. And they keep going with this narrative that Kyle Rittenhouse was only off because he was white. Of course, Jesse Jackson and the Rainbow Coalition group were in Kenosha spreading these lies. Jacob Blake's uncle, I don't know who he was there talking about how this is so offensive to the Black community that Kyle Rittenhouse was let off, even though the people that Kyle Rittenhouse killed were white. But Rob, what are your thoughts on this double standard that we constantly see? Whenever that a white person wins in a court case, it's because of white privilege, and they act like it is not the other way around. But you've cited, and we've both cited, several examples where it is the other way around, where Black people also get off in some of these cases.
Well, I'm not at all surprised this happens, because it's not part of the narrative that the left wants. So it's always a quiet as it's kept type deal. They want to keep stories like that hidden. And then when they do talk about it, they'll say, well, that was the exception, or it was white privilege. And I've told you guys what white privilege is. White privilege is Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Look at their family life story. Look at Hunter Biden, a convicted felon who had a gun, should not have had a gun, should have been thrown in jail, but yet still Joe says that he's the smartest man that he knows. And I doubt he wants Merrick Garland, the attorney general, to investigate him. And Merrick Garland isn't going to investigate him. I will say over and over again, especially now when we're coming up on Thanksgiving, I am so thankful that we missed that bullet, that Merrick Garland is not on the Supreme Court. We should all be thankful for that. That would have been a travesty had this left-wing little measly morsel of man got a seat on the Supreme Court. Andrew, we miss that, because look at how he's operating now. He's lying before Congress. He has weaponized the Department of Justice and the FBI to go after parents who are concerned about their children's education. And that is the reason why I talk and I tell people this whole infrastructure bill that Biden is pushing and free education for kids as early as 3, universal education for kids, pre-K it is, that's what they call it. It is dangerous. It is the beginning of indoctrination of our children, which is what they want. They want you to release your control so that they can indoctrinate them, begin the indoctrination at an early age so that they can feed them all these lies about segregation and the 1619 Project and white privilege and who has white privilege and how Black people have been oppressed and white people are bad people and you got to look at them that way. Critical race theory. All of this stuff, they want to start at the tender age of 3 because they know that once we're able to pump this into their head and get this in there, there's no going back. Look at it. Look at what's happening right now. Like I said, the people that are out there now were indoctrinated 10 and 20 years ago. They're now at the forefront. They're out there in the streets believing these lies, believing when the truth is in front of them as to what is this whole white privilege narrative, but they're not looking at it. They won't look at it. Kyle Rittenhouse, they can't see the truth because the media won't tell them. And now Joe has designed a process to get access to your children. We must push back and we must push back hard. So I am so thankful this year. And I will continue to be thankful that Merrick Garland is not on the Supreme Court.
Yes, indeed. We're all thankful this time of year for one thing or another. Merrick Garland not being on the Supreme Court is certainly one thing to be thankful for. But here we are approaching the Thanksgiving holiday, and then before you know it, Christmas will be right here. I'm always excited for Thanksgiving. I love turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, and then, of course, the desserts. Rob, what are your Thanksgiving plans for this year? You're going to get to spend some time with the family?
Yes, I am traveling to Arkansas to see the family. I haven't been there in 2 years, Andrew, because of this whole scare of COVID and them telling us you can't do this and you can't do that. You got to stay still.
You'll have to keep us updated on how the holiday travel goes with these airports during this COVID times and how busy it was.
Well, I do have some reservations about that. And I'm hoping that I have a smooth flight, that no one acts out, and that the airlines don't cancel. So my fingers are crossed. So I want to be thankful that I'm able to go home, but I hope they are on top of their jobs.
Indeed. It'd be nice to visit the beautiful state of Arkansas. We hope all of our listeners have a great Thanksgiving holiday and enjoy themselves. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com. So many great shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who just celebrated its 5th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.